Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Aaron Neff, the executive director of Progressive Now Nevada. Quite an exciting interview. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Chris Ferrari, Ty Cobb, and Sean McGinnis. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program Aaron Neff, Executive Director of Progress Now Nevada. Pleasure to have you on the program, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure, whoever I am. Now, formerly, a lot of folks are familiar with you as the liberal writer for the Las Vegas Review Journal, probably the only liberal writer at the time. And you have now changed sides, and now you are actually a lobbyist at the legislature. How does that feel, going from being a reporter to being a lobbyist?
Well, I'm an unpaid lobbyist, so it's a little different. But I, as a columnist, I would advocate for certain things. And as a lobbyist for my organization, I advocate for our 23,000 members in the state and their needs in this legislative session. So the difference really is minimal from being an actual columnist, but from being a reporter, there is certainly a difference.
What are the biggest issues that you've been dealing with in the session so far?
We've been working hard on this budget and looking to come up with some good solutions that don't jeopardize our higher education system and don't take as much money from K-12 education as the governor sees. We've been looking at a very strong LGBT legislative platform that my organization supports, and watching some of the election laws, and certainly keeping an eye to redistricting that's coming.
What do you think the chances are of the D's and R's coming together in the face of Governor Sandoval's threat that he's going to veto anything that raises taxes or fees?
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist. I have Unfortunately, I've been through many legislative sessions as a reporter going back to 2001 where I've never seen them end on time. But that said, I have seen compromise come in the past. I have seen the legislature override Governor Gibbons, for example. I have seen Republicans come to the table and support new revenue as they did in 2003. So at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that a solution can be found, one that's a balanced approach. Certainly, we don't think the size of this budget deficit means that you can simply raise revenue to get out of the hole. We believe there do need to be cuts, but we believe these cuts really need to come in balance with new revenue sources. So I'm hopeful this can get done.
What kind of cuts would you entertain?
Well, certainly, when you're talking about a budget crisis, when 54% of the state's budget is in the hole, you simply cannot raise that kind of revenue. And so I think we are going to have to suffer some cuts. We are going to see a certain percentage of cuts to higher education, to K-12 education. But at the end of the day, I don't think 17% in higher cuts, as the governor has proposed for higher education, is the answer.
What do you see the difference between Governor Gibbons and Governor Sandoval in their positions? Because really, it seems a different personality in Governor Sandoval, but the same idea.
I don't see any difference in the outward public description of the governors. Governor Sandoval today, I believe, is vetoing his first bill. Governor Gibbons vetoed the most bills in history. They certainly talk the same talk. I think the one difference between the two is that Governor Sandoval truly is a special interests puppet. He is completely tied to those who put him in office. And those who supported his inauguration, big corporations, foreign-owned mining corporations. Governor Gibbons sort of did the Chamber of Commerce thing, but really didn't have this kind of really strong connection to corporate lobbyists and to foreign-owned mining corporations.
Okay, but I mean, to be fair, the same thing can be said of the Democrats, the unions and their supporters. They are puppets of those as well. The teachers union?
I'm not so sure I understand the comparison. When the gold mining corporations have given more than six figures to this governor, gaming corporations well over six figures to this governor, what are you talking about labor's contributions? You can look up the reports. Sure, they give some money, but there's no way near a comparison.
I would have to disagree with you. The largest donors in the last campaign... Can I make my point?
Go ahead.
In the last election cycle, the largest donors on a national basis to the Reid campaign were unions. It wasn't even corporations, it was unions.
Well, first of all, you're completely wrong there. Secondly, in Nevada, in the governor's
race... I would disagree with you. I'm not completely wrong there.
Absolutely, unions were not the largest... Well, and absolutely in Nevada in the governor's race, you're completely wrong. In legislative races, you're completely wrong. Corporate funding nationally, Sam, is 3-1 to labor unions. You can look it up anywhere. I'm happy to support my facts, because yours are, I'm sorry to say, wrong.
Well, since the citizens...
That's why Citizens United was such a bad Supreme Court decision, because everybody says it equates labor unions with corporations, but the corporations are the ones with the money. That's what we saw last year. Everybody thinks it was this great Tea Party support. It was funded by corporations.
And I'll go back to my contention that on a national basis, the unions were the largest contributors, including AFSCME, which was at the top of the list. Let's talk about the GLBT, which is gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender legislation that you're promoting. What area are you promoting? What would you like to see accomplished in this session?
We would like to see some more progress made particularly with respect to transgendered individuals. It's basic civil rights here in the state. People's rights under the law are being denied, and we would like to see a very positive, proactive set of legislation passed. There are, I believe, 5 to 6 bills that we're watching, and each one of them has the potential to really improve the lives of tens of thousands of Nevadans.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Erin Neff when we come back.
Do you owe the IRS or state more than $10,000 in back taxes? Well, you can stop stressing right now. At Blue Tax, our team of tax professionals will remove bank levies and wage garnishments fast. Stop all collection activity immediately and negotiate a settlement on your entire tax debt. You could end up paying way less than you owe. 800-928-8944. Free consultation. That's 800-928-8944. And remember, you heard it from me, Max, at Blue Tax. Wow!
Inside local entertainment, Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Erin Neff, Executive Director of Progress Now Nevada. Just want to throw one thing in from our last segment I didn't have time to get in, was in the governor's race, Rory Reid raised significantly more money than Brian Sandoval, I think somewhere in the region of $2 million. So when you throw out things like Puppet, I do get a little concerned that you're not quite accurate there. Or at least that there's a certain level of equality in terms of people funding campaigns. You want to respond to that?
I lost a little bit of what you were asking me. I believe you were saying Rory Reid raised a lot of money, therefore he was also a special interest puppet.
No, I said he raised even more money.
Rory Reid's not in office.
No, he raised $2 million more than Brian Sandoval. So the only point I'm trying to make is that everybody who runs for high office is going to get large contributions from all kinds of places. And so, if you're going to paint one person as a puppet, I think you have to paint everybody as a puppet, because you can't run and succeed without getting money.
True, but Rory Reid isn't the governor. And Governor Sandoval is the one who thinks that mining pays its fair share. Let's take this example. The gold miners last year took $6 billion, $6 billion with a B, in gold out of our state, paid less than $100 million. I don't think that's fair share. The majority, overwhelming majority of Nevadans don't believe that's fair share. The governor does. And yes, gold miners were one of his top contributions. So maybe it is just a perception thing, Sam, but I don't think so, and neither do a majority of Nevadans. 75% of Nevadans think 75% of Nevadans think that the gold miners don't pay their fair share. The governor thinks they do.
I think that we've seen, and you've certainly been in all those sessions as well, over the years that individual industries have been attacked for revenue. And this year it's mining's turn to be in the barrel. They have come to the table and prepaid taxes, and Tim Crowley on this program has said that the miners are certainly willing to come to the table along with other businesses so that it's spread across the entire business community.
Well, I think that would be great. I think ultimately the state needs a broad-based business tax that doesn't target one individual industry. But with respect to the mining industry, this point must be made clear. As the price of gold has gone through the roof, well over $1,400 an ounce, mining has paid less and less. That makes no sense. It makes no sense on its face that they are taking more and more and paying less and less. That just is on its head.
But unbelievably also backwards. But also to say on the other side of that, that they pay all the same taxes everybody else pays as well. And certainly the mining industry is one of the few healthy industries in our state. I want to change topics because we've only got about a minute and a half left about the lawsuit that you sent out along, or that you're going after, Chuck Muth. You sent out an email fundraising solicitation titled Muth's Illegal Money Deal, attacking Chuck Muth. What's the basis of this?
Well, first of all, it's not a lawsuit. It is a complaint that we filed with the Secretary of State's office. Secretary of State enforces election law, and state law is very clear. Sitting legislators and the governor and statewide officers cannot raise money during a legislative session. We talked a little bit about perception, campaign contributions, and whether someone's a puppet of a certain industry a little earlier in this program. During session, the state law is clear. You can't give money to these guys. Chuck Muth very publicly raised money to put someone back to work for an assemblyman. That's clearly a donation to assemblyman. In this case, it was Ed Goodhart. We think it's wrong on its face, and all we did was ask the Secretary of State to look at it. If it's not the Secretary of State who enforces this, perhaps it's the Attorney General, but we thought that we'd give it to the Secretary of State because he is in fact charged with election law here.
Well, now, you know that this was not a contribution to Ed Goodhart. It was to pay the salary of a worker that Citizen Outreach felt was unfairly fired, and Chuck wanted to continue to have that person working for Ed Goodhart and used a fundraising mechanism to do that. There was no contribution to Ed Goodhart in any way, shape, or form.
Sam, you just said this woman works for Ed Goodhart.
No,
she worked
for the LCB.
If I wanted to hire someone to work for, pick one of your Democrats that you don't like. Let's say Speaker Oseguera. I am not allowed to raise a dime to put someone to work in his office. Chuck Muth clearly thinks he can. I just disagree. I think the state law is pretty clear, and I know I would be kicked out of town if I tried to do it for a Democrat. So I just think fair is fair, and I think someone needs to look at whether giving an assemblyman a staff worker, paying for someone to work on his staff, whether that violates state law. It's certainly, I mean, you can't even give these guys birthday presents without disclosing it, Sam.
Okay,
on its face, this doesn't sound right.
Well, Chuck Muth put out a very detailed list of arguments against everything that you said in your complaint, and he summed it up by saying there's nothing illegal about our hiring an experienced legislative consultant. It is always a pleasure to have you on the program, ma'am. We'll see how this plays out at the Secretary of State's office. We'll see you on the next broadcast.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 30 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $18.95.
We deliver 30 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Just when you thought you were done with your paint project, you discover paint bleed under your tape. Not anymore, with patented Frog Tape. Frog Tape is the only tape treated with paint block technology. Watch how it works. Paint block reacts with water, simulating latex paint, and instantly gels to form a micro barrier that seals the edges of the tape, preventing paint bleed. Look at the results. With Frog Tape, no messy lines, no paint bleed. Frog Tape keeps paint out, keeps lines sharp.
Available at all fine home centers, hardware, and paint retailers. When accidents happen, where can you turn? Galloway & Jensen, one of Reno's finest personal injury law firms. Bob and Graham have over 50 years' experience defending folks just like you. They know how insurance companies defend claims. They know how they'll evaluate your injury. And they know when to take them to court.
Why go it alone against the insurance companies?
Call us today. We'll fight for you.
Call Galloway & Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 30 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just
$18.95. We deliver onions.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, just before I go to our pundit panel, I do want to defend myself here and say that I do not hate Speaker John Ossegaro. In fact, Speaker Ossegaro will be a guest on this program. I wouldn't be allowed to hate him because his mom is a big fan of our show, so we will move on. I just wanted to point that out. A great Power Pundit panel. Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan, is here. Sean McGinnis, attorney with Lewis & Rocha. And Chris Ferrari, principal with Ferrari Public Affairs. Pleasure to have you all here. Just want to start out with a one-off deal here. What in the world is going on in the Middle East? We dump another ally in Yemen?
We are essentially a status quo power who seeks stability. And we've stayed with some people who are fairly autocratic in Tunisia and in Egypt until it became quite clear that those individuals could no longer stay in power. And now in Yemen, it's clear that Saleh has to go too. So are we abandoning him? Yeah.
And yet, when it comes to Bahrain, we have no objection to the Saudis sending in the tanks.
Well, 70% of the Bahraini population are Shiites under a probable Iranian influence. And once again, I think our predilection for stability over majority rights will prevail.
All right.
Correctly so, in my opinion.
We'll move back to more national topics here. President Obama, big surprise this morning, announces he's running for president for re-election.
Oh, yeah. Well, the endless re-election cycle just continues.
Yes.
There's no break anymore, and it's just unbelievable. Here we are. It's just 2011, and we're getting to roll things up. It's going to be interesting to see if this sort of speeds things along on the Republican side of the aisle, to sort of see if the candidates on the Republican side really start stepping up. There's been indications, you know, like Newt Gingrich is supposed to announce fairly soon, and others, but this could move that up forward as well.
Yeah, Newt Gingrich pretty much announced on Fox News Sunday last week, but said there are certain legal things that steps have to be taken before he can actually come out and officially announce. I was talking to a very prominent conservative the other day who said, Donald Trump, that's who I want.
Boy, he may be a tough sell. I don't know about Nevada, but across the country, that's going to be interesting. And I think that's probably the advantage that President Obama has. Obviously, he started a little further left, came toward the center, really can't find a break. That being said, he's out trying to get some things done, and he's certainly visible, and his approval ratings are certainly waning based on the economy. But it's a long ways away, and probably smart for him to get out right now and get out of it.
Your thoughts? I mean, when you look at the Republican lineup, it seems like people like Tim Pawlenty, who most people are really not aware of, is being talked about very strongly by a lot of people. People are impressed.
Well, he's the only one who's announced. And the Reagan Library was going to have a big debate among the Republican candidates this week, and they had to put it off for 6 months because nobody's declared. I think it's a very weak field so far, and some people have said it's Obama and the 11 dwarfs, but there isn't anybody that has nationwide stature that I think feels strongly enough to challenge him. And even people like Mitch Daniels are walking away saying, I think Obama is going to be awfully strong in 2012, despite what Chris said going down in the polls.
Well, it was an interesting article in the New York Times yesterday. The RNC may sponsor debates in exchange for help on debt. The Republican National Committee has asked the party's likely presidential candidates if they would be willing to participate in debates in which it picked the format, the content, and even the moderators in exchange for their help of digging the party out of its $21 million debt. Is that a good idea?
No. No.
Yeah. That's a pretty tough sell all the way around.
Yeah.
That means times are lean. Don't know if that's necessarily the best.
Well, I think the most interesting in the Republican Party is really how badly split it is between the right-wing Tea Party activists that were mainly responsible for the successes they had last year, and more traditional Republicans who are being seriously challenged in their own races.
Well, right, and what the article Sam was just quoting, I mean, it's almost like they're looking for a corporate sponsor. I mean, and that's just... That's just bizarre.
And as Ty was saying, you know, they're already postponing debates because they can't get people to commit to actually showing up for.
That's going to be a problem for the Republicans overall. I mean, if that, like Ty said, that kind of faction, especially I think in the younger generation, a lot of those Obama voters are looking for something more in the middle. And if the Tea Party ends up kind of carrying the party forward, there are going to be some challenges internally, and that's certainly going to benefit President Obama
in his re-election.
The good
news in Nevada is the Republican Party has an early caucus, and this is going to be the scene of a decisive vote. But we got to get somebody in the race first to have a contest that's worth being of interest. And if Mitt Romney's in it, he'll be such an overwhelming favorite in Nevada that everybody else will probably stay away. So what will our caucus be like?
But they won't be able to because it's not a winner-takes-all.
They may want to get in, but they're going to look awfully bad if they come in a distant third or fourth, even if they get two delegates.
Do you think there are concerns that, you know, you're seeing more of the Tea Party folks looking towards social issues rather than fiscal issues? Does that bring up present a problem for them?
For the Tea Party folks? Well, I think so. It's a slippery slope. I mean, I think they're able to get a lot of good traction on the political issues, the taxation, et cetera. But you start getting into social aspects, then I think you're getting into what was just talked about. It's like a lot of the electorate wants something in the center. And if you start going too far to one extreme, whether it's the right wing or the left wing, you're going to lose those folks. And now that those folks are emancipated and participated in the last election that Obama won, it's going to be interesting.
Last topic, $1 billion fund for Obama to be reelected. That's an awful lot of money.
It is an awful lot of money. I think we've obviously gradually seen the escalation of costs of running campaigns, and I think the level of sophistication at which the last Obama campaign took place was unprecedented, regardless of partisan. I mean, the communication machine that was put in place, it was a...
And Obama won't be challenged, I don't think, seriously, within the Democratic Party, so the Republican candidate's going to have to raise a lot of money to run against and devastate each other.
So we shouldn't take any sign from Hillary Clinton saying that she's not going to continue on as Secretary of State in the next administration.
Secretary of Defense?
I'm sorry. Could be. Or challenge. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
I love what I do. So please don't ever hesitate in asking me questions when you see me around town. I'll answer them. I won't charge you for them. Call me, email me. I'm there for you. I love giving back to the community, and I want to give back to you. You owe it to yourself, and I owe it to you. Call me, 333-1234. Let me help you. My name is Joe Laub. I'm your injury attorney. 333-1234.
Attention. The anti-acne drug Accutane is a very dangerous drug. If you or a loved one took Accutane and now have Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, or your colon has been removed, call attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you ever took Accutane or one of these generic versions and you now suffer from any of these conditions, call the Greg Jones Law Firm right now.
Several juries have recently awarded millions of dollars to Accutane victims, including awards of $7 million, $8.6 million, and $10.5 million. Call the Greg Jones Law Firm right now to see if you may qualify for financial compensation. If you or a loved one has taken any of these drugs and were injured, call us right now. You may be entitled to financial compensation.
If you or a loved one took Accutane and now suffer from Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, call 1-800-716-5335. 1-800-716-5335.
Click over to MyNews4.com to get the best in today's news and events. Customize your homepage to get only the articles and video that you want to see. Get customized weather forecasts for your neighborhood and check the traffic for your drive to work. Meet the News 4 team, browse for jobs, and watch your favorite NBC shows. Check out the latest sports scores and headlines. Only MyNews4.com brings you all the news that you want to see.
As expected, the governor vetoed Assembly Bill 183 dealing with education funding. On the next broadcast, Katie Simon, the Washoe County Manager. See you then.